Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, your pastor really did want to go on vacation quickly, and she didn't want to write a sermon for today, so she asked me if I would step in. And I have no issues with stepping in because this is probably one of the most beautiful and wonderful stories that you have ever heard. But I'm going to tell it to you in my words. You heard it as your pastor read to you from John's Gospel. And you know the time, right? It was noontime. And you're probably saying to yourself, why the heck did that Samaritan woman go to the well at noontime? Good question. Because if you know anything about our culture, then you would know that we go to the well, or the women go to the well, in the morning. So why would I be there at noontime? Well, it's because I am what you would consider to be a social outcast. And I know what you're thinking. Well, you brought this on yourself. Your behaviors, really, five husbands. And the man you're with now isn't even your husband. And it's all true. But it's not because of what I've done. Because in my day, in my society, women were defined, their worth was measured by the men in their lives. That's how I got my status. I, as a woman, can't do anything on my own. I can't own property. I, as a woman, have absolutely no power. I, as a woman in my society, get my identity and my life solely from the men in my life. My husband, my father, my son. So in my society, if I'm married and my husband dies, I am nothing. Maybe you might see that as a burden on society. People have to take care of me. If my father's still alive, he would take care of me. If my oldest son is old enough in our society, which is probably around the age you would say today of 12-ish, 13, he, believe it or not, a 12, 13-year-old would take care of me. That's if my husband survived. Five husbands, you heard. Perhaps one of them died. Divorce was pretty prevalent. Probably didn't think that either. But do you know that a man could divorce a woman over something as silly as burning the toast? Yeah. A man can get rid of his wife. Destitute. A man can divorce a woman if she cannot bear him children. These are all things that have nothing to do with the woman. So when you hear five husbands, don't think that it's something that I did. Think of it as something that perhaps has been done to me. That I was left behind, so to speak. That I was abandoned. That I was betrayed. No one to care for me, except for the current man in my life. And you can figure out whether that is my father or my son. No one wants to associate with me, a woman like me. And there's not a thing I can do about it. So, yeah, I go to the well at noon because I don't want to go when all the other people go. because it's just a reminder of how lonely I am. And I get to the well, and there's a man. I'm like, what's this man doing here at noon? I mean, I just want to go get my water and go home. But the thing I notice about this man is he's not one of us. We are Samaritans. They call us half Jewish. We are from the northern kingdom. We are of Jacob's tribe, as are those from the southern kingdom, the Jews. But they don't think we're really Jews because we have married outside of our religion. We have married those who came and conquered us. And so we're not pure. And that's what I see as I'm coming to the well. Not only a man, but a Jewish man who doesn't want anything to do with a Samaritan, no less a Samaritan woman. And do you know what this man does? He starts to talk to me. You see, Jews don't think we're pure enough to be around them. Forget about talking to us. And he asked me, to get him a drink of water. Like that would mean I would have to touch it to give it to him. But here's what really puzzled me as I started to have a conversation with this man. He talked to me. He saw me. But he saw something else in me. As I'm talking with him, he tells me about this life-giving water that I'll never be thirsty again. I'm like, hey, I want some of that water because if I don't ever have to come to this well again, I will be thrilled. I can just stay hidden and no one will see me. So he tells me to go get my husband and bring my husband back. And I'm honest with him. And I say, I don't have a husband. You know something? He says to me, you're right. You had five husbands, and the husband that you're currently with, and the man that you're currently with, is not your husband. He knows my story. He knows who I am. He knows everything that has happened to me. I don't know this man, but he knows me. He looked at me when he spoke to me with these sympathetic eyes that said to me, I know you. I know your pain. I know your loneliness. I know that you have been abandoned. And I'm stunned. Yet at the same time as I'm stunned, I'm totally comforted. Because I know that this man is a prophet, and I tell him that. I can see that you are a prophet. And then I ask him the question that has been debated among the Samaritan and the Jews for years. I'm sure within your religious denominations, you have your own things that are debated about for years. But here's what ours was. Ours was all about where is the right place to worship God. Is it in the temple in Jerusalem or our temple here on Mount Gerizim? That is the pressing theological question. And I have a prophet in front of me and I'm going to ask that question. And the answer I get is that one day we won't be worshiping in either the temple in Jerusalem or the temple here because the Holy Spirit, God, will come among us. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. I know the Messiah will be coming, the Christ. I know that. And then he says to me, Ego ami. Greek for I am. He looks right into my eyes, into my soul, and says, I am. I'm taken back. I mean, back. Because if For us, I am. For you, I am means the Almighty God. It is how God defined God's self to Moses at the burning bush, in which God took on the nature of a burning bush. And when asked, "Who are you?" the response was, "I am." And those same exact words were spoken to me that day at that well. I am. I was blown away. I ran. That's all I can tell you I did. I ran. I left behind my water jug. But you know something else? I left behind all of the loneliness, all of the feelings of being, you know, on the outskirts of my society. I left all of that behind. I left behind the fact that I was a woman with no husband. And I ran back and said, "Oh my gosh." That doesn't say it in John's gospel. But I said, "Oh my gosh. Can this be the Messiah?" I didn't know. But something told me, yeah, this could be the Messiah. I wasn't certain. But I heard those words, "I am." And this man knew every single thing about me. And I felt peace and comfort. And I said, "Come and see. You have to come and see me. This came from me. Because the Messiah came to me, who no one would associate with. Come, come," I screamed. And I ran back and they followed me. But you know what they told me before as they're following me? We believe because of what you have said. Whoever thought I could be that convincing? Well, of course, it had nothing to do with me. It was all God and the Holy Spirit. And so they ran and they saw exactly what I saw. And they invited this man whose name we came to know as Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, was invited to dwell and stay with us for 2 days. And he accepted the invitation. That day at the well, everything in my life changed. The Messiah, the Son of God, came to me, talked to me, knew me and my story. And that day, the Messiah, the Son of God, revealed himself to me. Me. The one who had been left behind mattered to God. My words for you this morning are very simple. Like me, there are circumstances in your life that make you feel as if you were on the outside. Lost, abandoned, unloved. You are not left behind. Our God talks to you. Our God knows your story. Our God comes to you. Our God reveals God's self to you through the Holy Spirit. You have been called. You have come here. You have heard, you see all that God is doing. The God who dwells with us is what you see. The I am, the Savior who comes for this world. You have an assignment. I bet you didn't think the Samaritan woman at the well was going to give you an assignment this morning. But you have an assignment. Your assignment, like mine, and I didn't even realize that I was assigned this, is to go back and be witnesses, to go and to tell, to invite others to come and to see, to belong to God, because in our risen Jesus Christ, no one, not one person, is left behind. Amen.
Amen.